Almighty God, to thee we come, we creatures of time and space, we who are made of the earth but hold thy breathing, come boldly to call thee, Father. In the name of Jesus, O God, claim us as thy children, to make us in his likeness, to know thee, to love thee, and to serve thee, for his dear sake. Amen. One of the great joys that I remember about the years I spent in Scotland was the singing of the men at the lunch table in the dining hall. They had no instrument at all, but their beautiful voices blended and brought me to a sense of heaven itself. So through the years, I've looked forward and listened to your voices as we blend together in praise of God. And I wonder this morning if we could have such a period of fellowship, of prayer and singing, and if you would mind coming down to the very first seats. I know we're all Baptists with a few Methodists and others. The Methodists have become just like Baptists in loving the back seat. But if you'll come to the front, and then we'll sing and pray together. Mr. Drummond identified with John Newton.
known something of the roughness of life, but he found also indescribable joy in Christ Jesus. And we sing the first and last verse.
Reluctant to get involved in, but did, and it's blessed to be in that One of the most exciting things I think I've ever seen is to see people who were heading on, walking with the Lord, walking with one hand tied to the world, see the break loose and the change in the realm of the self. It is just marvelous. God's word is marvelous in our eyes.
Praise.
This past Sunday, my wife's brother-in-law, who was Jewish, came and baptized into the faith.
Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's maybe pray this little short sentence prayer, thanking God for some gift for your thanking special goodness. But now, if you start the prayer, and then others will join.
Our Father, we're so grateful today for all the blessings of life. We thank you for our church, for its witness to the world. We thank you for our seminary, for each of the students here today. We pray that Holy Spirit would continue to guide us as we labor together, our co-labor with our Lord, who gave himself a ransom for us.
Please stand for hymn number 69. Scripture this morning is taken from the 15th chapter of Genesis, the first six verses, and our text is in the first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels, he shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now into the heavens, and tell the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it counted to him for righteousness. What would you think of a young woman whose caller brought her a bouquet of flowers? She grabs the flowers and runs into a room, sits down and looks at them all evening without even looking at him again. The second evening, he brings her a box of candy. She grabs the box of candy and runs into the room and begins stuffing herself so that she can't say another word the whole evening. And the third evening, he brings her a book. Oh, it's my favorite book. I've just been dying to read it, she exclaims, and starts reading from page 1 to page 79 that same evening. Now you would say, foolish girl, doesn't she realize that in the gifts the young man is bringing her, he's offering himself? Ah, and I've caught you. For that's exactly the way we treat God. God comes like the young lover with gifts and blessings, and we grab them and enjoy them without saying thank you, without spending any time enjoying his company. God said to Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. God is himself his best and greatest gift to us. Amen. Been a long time since Abram left home. Many a weary mile. Many a weary month. And there was no child. He had no home. God had promised him a lot of things, but they were kind of slow in coming. Abram was beginning to be troubled, beginning to have some doubts. He was feeling very insecure and uncertain. What must he do for the future? He had no heir. He took the matter to God, and in a dream, God reassured him that he would have children, heirs, as many as the stars of the sky. And in the process of reassuring him, he gave him this great word, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am thy reward. Now the writer to Hebrews said that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But this truth is greater. Is expressed in the Psalms when he said, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance, the fullness of my joy is in the Lord. And Jesus said when he was leaving his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you and will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And this gives us an indication that God is just as anxious to be with us as we are anxious to be with him. Perhaps that was the aim of the whole creation, that God would have somebody to respond to him, someone to keep him company. I am thy exceeding great reward. And as we come to the Christmas season, we know that's exactly what happened in Jesus' coming. God came, Emmanuel. God is with us. And in that last night when Jesus was leaving his disciples, he said, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask now, and you shall receive anything, everything. Almost impossible to believe it, isn't it? But in my name conditions it. How are you going to ask for a sunny day for your picnic when the farmers are needing rain for their crops to feed the world if you ask it in Jesus' name? And Jesus tells us to be persistent in our prayers, not once and then run, but to pray constantly. Does he want us to be sure we want it? Or is it a way God has of getting us to come to him? Now, you know, you try these new ideas out on your wife, and my wife hit the ceiling when I suggested this, that God might be enticing us with the offer of anything so that he could see us a little bit. And Ruth said, no, God wouldn't play tricks that way. But God knows us quite well, doesn't he? Now come to, how often do you pray when there's not something on your mind that you want, some problem or some issue that you're trying to face? It's part of our human nature to keep asking for that daily bread, and Jesus didn't despise it. He told us to ask for it. But it may be in our asking, God has a chance to see us once in a while. And otherwise, if we didn't have anything to ask for, we wouldn't come. Now, I grant you, it's not much of a friend that just comes to you every time he wants something. I kind of turn that feller off. But isn't that the way we treat God? When do you ask God if there's something you can do for him? It may have been that if God had given that son to Abraham early, Abraham would have been quite satisfied and would have stopped praying. But he kept praying so long and came to know God so well that he was called a friend of God. And God shared with him some of those awful burdens that was on God's heart, like Sodom and Gomorrah. And he wanted Abram to plead and to intercede for those wicked cities that he might spare them. It was in praying that Abraham came to know God so well that he was called a friend of God. Everything that happens can be made to bring us to God and could be a glory if it's used for that purpose. You remember Sarah F. Adams, actress and Brit on the British stage, became very ill. She was dying of tuberculosis. And in her grief, now a Christian, she wrote that great hymn, Nearer My God to Thee, even though it be a cross, still all my song shall be, Nearer, my God, to thee. Even trouble can bring us to God and give us a chance to fellowship with God, that we may know God and God may know us. The work that God has given us is the same way. You remember in the closing part of Albert Schweitzer's great book, The Search for the Historic Jesus, he said there are many letters and many titles given to Jesus that have very little meaning to us today. But if we become engaged in toils and work and suffering with him, we shall come to know who he is. I believe it was Phillips Brooks who said, if you want to meet God, take a job so big you can't possibly do it without God, and you'll find God coming along working beside you. It's in the toils and the prayers and even the troubles that God gives himself to us as that exceeding great reward. But I warn you that God's blessings can take us away from him. Trouble can take us away from him, and even work can take him away from us. I once asked a dear man of God of his relationship with God, and he said, it's not as it used to be. And then he said, the work of the kingdom can take us away from the king. And that's tragedy, isn't it? The work should bring us to the king. Trouble should bring us to the king. Blessings should bring us to the king. I am thy exceeding great reward. Now be grateful for the blessings. Praise God for them. Pray for grace in trouble. Be diligent in your work. But in all things, know that if you miss God, if you miss taking time to enjoy fellowship with God, you're missing God's greatest gift, himself. Holy Father, we give thee thanks again for Jesus, for in him thou come to us, and we pray we may receive him at this Christmas season to live his life and to do his work. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all this day and forever.